In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. When I was a kid, I used to really lament the passing of Christmas. You would go to the shops and all the Christmas decorations would be taken down almost immediately after Christmas. And of course, there would be the sales. And for some reason, they started to advertise holidays on Boxing Day. Do you remember that? And they still do it. As soon as Christmas is out of the way, let's go on to the next thing that we can make money out of. I wanted to remain with Christmas. And the wonderful thing about coming to church is that we stay with the story. We celebrate the joy of the story, the gladness that it brings, right to the 2nd of February, as I've told you many, many times, is our Christmas celebration, because here we rejoice in the glory and the wonder of the God who came amongst us. By the way, the Christmas story is not a sentimental story. Our readings today about the slaughter of the innocents, these are the sort of parts of the Bible, in one sense, I'd like to take away, really, because the Christmas story is mixed with both the miraculous and deep anguish. The miraculous and deep anguish. It's a story, actually, if you know it well, for adults. It's about exploitation and power and dominance. It's about escape and homelessness. It's about being a migrant. It's about taxation. It's about division. It's about power. It's about possible public humiliation and a teenage pregnancy. This is the story. This is an adult story. And it's about the loss of the innocent. You see, it's, for me, a wonderfully true story because it brings together, if you wanted to actually do something that was sort of palatable for people, and if you don't know the true story, you would airbrush these things out of Scripture. But this is the reality. What it does, it holds anguish and miracle together. And despite all of this, exploitation, power, domination, taxation, escape, migration, despite all of this, is a song of the angels that comes through the story that speaks of another day and of another kingdom. And it lifts people's hearts and they come from afar. The intellectuals come and the night workers come to this place and they worship the king, the newborn king. It's a phenomenal story. Anguish and miracle held together. And by the way, today, if we reflect on our own life, all of us, we've seen wonderful things. We've been wonderfully blessed, haven't we? If we began to just write down all the things, the miraculous things that have come our way, it would take several pages of books to underscore those wonderful things that have come our way, the miraculous things. But also there has been much anguish. And maybe you're going through anguish today, toil and struggle, as we face a new year, 2026, and what that might bring. But we hold the two together, and people of faith are not sentimental, they're realistic. Christianity is a realistic face. It faces life head on, the true reality. And we hold them together and we look for the work of God, for the miraculous. It's there. And the more we look with it, the more our heart rejoices and we lift it up. As with gladness, men of old, did the rising star behold gladness. So if you're in a place of anguish today, look for the miraculous in this story. And those of us maybe whose wonderful hearts are uplifted, reach out to those people maybe who are struggling at the moment and embrace them and care for them and love them. You know, one of the most miraculous things of all, the miraculous things of all is that this story is about a baby. It's about a birth. And it makes every birth, in one sense, holy. A God moment. For those women here who've given birth to children, you will have known of that moment, that holy, precious moment when you brought a child into this world. And all of us here were born someplace, somewhere, to someone, all of us. And that in itself is an amazing miracle. And perhaps you underestimate hugely how important and miraculous you are. Let me tell you a couple of facts. First of all, your brain. You might have failed the 11 plus, or you might only have 2 GCSEs or O levels, but let me tell you, your brain is the most remarkable thing that exists, as far as we know, in the whole of the universe. Our brain, our human brain, the most miraculous thing that exists in the whole of the universe, the most complex thing, your brain. So you yourself is a walking miracle. Just your brain itself, amazing. The most complex thing that we know that exists in the entire universe, your brain, my brain, human brains. You're a miracle. Thank God for your birth. Now, I hope I'm able to explain this with some clarity. I want to volunteer. Colin, come and be a volunteer for me. I'll press you into it. Hold that. What's that? Hold that up for the people for me, can you? What is this? What is it? It's a star. What is a star? It's a... What's a star? It's a sun, right? A sun. Okay. Now, if we were to take every person that exists on Earth at the moment, and then we were to take all the stars, all the suns that exist in the observable universe. Have you got it? All the people on Earth, all of the stars, the suns that exist in the observable universe. These are the facts. All the people on Earth, all the stars that, and we dish them out equally. So how many stars do you think Colin would get? Have a guess. How many stars? All the observable stars spread out equally amongst all the people on Earth at this moment. How many stars do you think he would get? Should we give him a few more? John, come on, you're a scientist. How many do you think he would get? In the observable universe, how many? Keep going. How many you got so far?
I got a GCSE. I'll count.
Here it is. This is how remarkable Colin is. For every person that exists on the planet right now, about 8 billion people, if you were to divide up all of the stars that exist across the entire visible universe, Colin would be entitled, hear this, to 1 trillion stars. Simone would be entitled to 1 trillion stars. Even Gary Williams, 1 trillion stars. Linda North, 1 trillion stars. Barbara North, 1 trillion stars. Alan Wolford, Robert, all of us, 1 trillion stars. Now, why do I say that? It says this, that stars, suns, are in an abundance, aren't they? Trillions of them in the observable universe, like our star that rises today. So these are very bountiful, but he is extremely rare. in the observable universe. If you like, he is one in a trillion. So, listen, never underestimate how important Colin is, or your neighbour is, the person that you're sat next to. You, in our observable universe, are one in a trillion in comparison to the numbers of stars or suns that exist. Thank you. If you get this, that's why it makes your birth so incredibly important and so amazing in the vastness of the known universe that we're part of. That's why whenever you sit next to another human being and you encounter somebody, we should never think that this is a mere mortal. A mere mortal. C.S. Lewis said, never look at another human being as a mere mortal. What you're sat next to is an amazing person who exists in the vastness of this great universe. Every single one of us is made in the image of God. And because of the incarnation, Christ coming to us to elevate us, to give us a divinity in one sense. All of us have been raised, and none of us are mere mortals. Why is this important? Lewis says in his book, The Weight of Glory, The Weight of Glory, worth reading. He says, the closest encounter you will ever have with God is another human person. Let me say that to you again. The closest encounter that you will ever have with God is another human person. Because they have their own ability to make choices. They have their own ability to forgive. They have their only ability to love. They have their own ability to accept and reject. So the closest person that you got thing that we ever come to in relation to God is another human person. So that means that you've got a little bit of God sat next to you. And in one sense, the most important person in your salvation is the person that you're sat next to now, because all of us are made in the image of God. And this was blessed and multiplied because of the incarnation, when God came amongst us to live alongside us, to show us how to live. I was just thinking about this week as I went down to Wales to see my family. What a joy it was just to go from house to house for a couple of hours and say hi and bless and reach out and connect. And I suddenly realised how important these people are to me, really. And how an awful lot of preoccupations of my life are really completely unimportant. But these people, because they have God inside them, they're vital to me in one sense, and we take them hugely for granted. So the same is true here. As we come and we fellowship together, we are in between each other. We are connected with God in each other. God in Anne. God in John. God in Martin. God in Lyndon. God in Gary. God in each one of us. Multiplied, this becomes a place of real wholeness and healing because we connect with God in each other. None of us are just mere mortals. You are one in a trillion. And we thank God that you were born. And Christmas is a time when we bless and hallow every birth because it has come from God. thinking about my family on Boxing Day, it made me think I need to be a lot more tolerant towards them because here is God. I need to be more loving to them and make more sacrifices for them because here is God. I need to stop and be present to them and engage with them in a deep relationship because here is God. God amongst us, with us, in each other. One in a trillion. So as you go from here this week and into this new year, can we connect better with each other? Can we look each other in the eye and really connect? Sometimes when I come to the peace, people don't look at me, they look away. I want to connect with you because you're important to me and I'm important to you because in one another, here is God amongst us. None of us are mere mortals. Every one of us is vital. You are an amazing being in the vastness of this place called the universe. One in a trillion. Trillion suns and just one of you. Says in 2 Peter to finish. He took you upon himself so that you may have the divine nature. His role in coming is to bless your birth and to elevate who you are. None of us today are mere mortals. As we go into this new year, help us to connect, help us to value each other, help us to really build community here so that we recognize the Imago Dei is amongst us all and that we are one in a trillion. Amen.
So today, the Feast of the Holy Innocents murdered on Herod's command. We remember all children everywhere, all mothers, parents, families, for the varying circumstances in life, and particularly those who have been ill-served. As I say each section, I will conclude with the words, in this season of light, because it is still Christmas, please respond, be light for the world. In this season of light, be light for the world. In this season of gifts, we celebrate your coming as the only gift we really need. As we enjoy the surprises and the imagination of those who give us presents, may the child in the straw be the gift that really overwhelms us. And may our giving to others flow from hearts motivated by gratitude for your glorious gift. In this season of light, in this season of family gatherings, we celebrate your coming to be part of a human family. As we experience the delights and the frustrations of family life this Christmas, may the child in the straw be the still life who holds us together. And may our care for each other reflect your profound care for us all. In this season of light, in this season of memories, we celebrate our corporate memory of your arrival in darkness, a sharp cry in the night air, animals shuffling nearby, rough shepherds from the hills, a star strange visitors from the East. And our own individual memories take us back to distant times of greater innocence and less cluttered lives, of other relationships and different places. May the child in the straw be the continuity we need, the thread of gold that holds past and present in a single story. In this season of light, in this season of peace, we celebrate the peacemakers who listen to the angels' song and seek to bring peace to your people on earth. And yet we stand on the vulnerable edge of violence in many parts of the world. And especially we remember those suffering from war and famine and persecution in Gaza, between Ukraine and Russia, in China, and in Myanmar and Afghanistan. May the child in the straw be a reminder of another way and a greater light, one that unites every race under heaven. In this season of light, in this season of hope, we celebrate your coming like the dawn after a long night. As we struggle with our personal darkness, the issues and conflicts, the temptations and confusions, so may the child in the straw draw us into a larger and safer space, where complexity dissolves into simplicity and your light shines forever. In this season of light, but we know too of the dark sides to Christmas. First, the massacre of the Holy Innocents, whom we commemorate today. Bless, Lord, we ask, all children everywhere, and we bring to you especially those who live and from in our schools, their teachers and parents, for children worldwide suffering from war, civil unrest, discrimination, hunger, or homelessness, for those led astray in gangs or caught up in delinquency, substance abuse, or prison, those suffering physical or mental abuse, those who are ill, and for all agencies caring for them and helping to remove those harms. In this season of light, and another dark side in that your birth heralded your own passion and death, we remember with pride and joy those we know associated with this church and parish, especially Robinson and Rabina Esenye, who have recently died with Ron Birchall also on Christmas Eve. For all those whose anniversaries fall at this time, as well as those we have loved personally, we ask you to comfort the bereaved and illuminate their darkness in this season of light. Lord of light, you have come to draw us out of darkness into your glorious light. We come to you afresh this Christmas, longing for a new start and another chance. Take our Christmas celebrations and fill them with golden glowing hope to sustain us through this coming year. And so, rejoicing in the fellowship of Andrew, Stephen, John, the Holy Innocents, and Mary, the Blessed Virgin Mother, merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.